Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. And let all God's people say, Amen. It's so appropriate that we read this particular scripture today on World Communion Sunday. Back in Jesus' day, the Samaritans were not just foreigners. They were loathed by their neighbors, the Jews. Though they were the Jewish people's closest neighbors, in fact, they were far more despised than other foreigners far away. For one thing, Samaritans worshipped a variety of gods and had a different set of values than the Jews did. And though Jews and Samaritans actually shared some of the same DNA, or maybe because they shared some of the same ancestry, Samaritans were considered disgusting, idolatrous, and sometimes even dangerous. It makes me wonder, maybe a political leader back there might have suggested building a wall and making them pay for it. But Jesus doesn't go that route. Instead of avoiding the Samaritans, Jesus goes right to them. Instead of dismissing the Samaritans, Jesus engages them in conversation. And instead of judging the Samaritan woman alone at the well in the middle of the day without a brother or a husband in sight, her implied promiscuity and shame is later confirmed in conversation. Instead of coming to judge her, Jesus offers her living water. Instead of coming to judge her, he treats her as the beloved child of God that she is. Jesus seeks out the outsider. Jesus takes her seriously. Jesus treats her as a child of God. In other words, he bears the attitude of respect, which is just what we're called to do when we carry the name of Christ. Respect is part of the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And the more we practice it, the more we practice respect, the more we bless the world. The more we practice respect, the more Christ-like we become. So what does Christ-like respect look like in our day and age? Where do we meet people who are different? How do we treat them when we do? Sometimes, like Jesus, we go out of our way when we go on mission trips to Tanzania or we welcome people from Syria. In fact, in the next few weeks, Nina Sternad will be sharing about Syria and Dave Tomey will be sharing about Tanzania as we hear in this sermon series mission testimonies from members of our church. But sometimes we don't have to go far at all to discover the outsider, the foreigner, the one who is different than us. Sometimes the foreigner, the different one, comes right to us, which is just what I experienced yesterday at our rummage sale. Our church building became the place of the joyful feast of the people of God, where people came from north and south and east and west, gathered together in God's kingdom, and it was beautiful. There was Hagop, a student from the college who is from Armenia, who came here to try on shirts. I met Julie and her friend from Green Bay, Wisconsin, who come every year. I met Deepak, a chaplain at Kandel Hospital, who came to volunteer. He is from India. A little six-year-old boy, Derek, came from Englewood with his mom and grandma. He was proud to tell me all about his baseball coach, who teaches them that practice makes perfect. And I could go on and on about this joyful feast of God's kingdom. But I'll stop for now, and I'll ask Martha Zeman to share her testimony with you and the experience she's had of this practice of faith, this mission of Christ we call Rummage.
When Chris asked me to give a testimony about Rummage, my mind was full of all the stories I could tell, like the time my son came home so excited about the golf clubs he purchased at Rummage. I took a closer look at them and realized there was a sticker around the grip and it said, Greg Zeman. So yes, John bought his father's old clubs, which we had donated to Rummage. Or the time we went to the All Church auction and my husband, Greg Zeman, informed me that I couldn't buy anything this time. About three quarters of the way through the night, I learned that he bought a grandfather clock that is now in our dining room for all to see. Or the time I bought a new dress from the French room and wore it the next week to an event and proudly told everyone where I had purchased my fabulous new dress. Or the time I beat out my youngest son's fourth grade teacher in bidding for a knight in armor at the church auction, which is now proudly displayed in his room. An even better prize for him since his teacher had wanted it. I have many fond memories and funny stories about Rummage, but I've also learned a lot about people through Rummage, a lot about treating people with respect. One of my first memories of working at Rummage is of a mother who comes to Rummage every year. She's a mother of four girls, and she comes every year to buy them new clothes. The girls shop for a long time, but they don't purchase right away. Now, this mom's been coming for many years, and she knows that at a certain time of day, we reduce the prices. At the very end of the day, we have a bag sale, where you can stuff as much as you can fit in that bag, and you get a fabulous bargain. That's a great idea for a mom trying to find new clothes for four girls. However, people aren't supposed to save things during the day. The first year I met this mom was my first year working Rummage, and I figured out pretty quickly what she was doing and didn't really think it was right. I didn't think it was fair to the rest of the shoppers. It was against the rules. It seemed very black and white to me. I spoke to another volunteer and suggested we talk to this mom and tell her she had to purchase the items. The other volunteer had been working Rummage longer than I had, and she knew this mom from years past, and she knew that she came every year to buy clothes for her four girls. Instead of chastising the mom, she helped her shop. She engaged the young girls and helped them find things they liked. She showed kindness and respect to this mother, who was doing her best to clothe her four girls in new clothes. She showed kindness to the girls and made them feel special. They ended up waiting until the bag sale, and they went home with lots of fabulous new clothes for each girl. They paid less than they would have if they bought it earlier, but is that really so bad? Now, it may not be the absolute right thing to do in terms of following the rules, but in my opinion, it was the right thing to do for this family. It's something I'll never forget. Our Rummage volunteer recognized this woman and was compassionate towards her. She showed the family kindness and respect, and that was far more important. I also remember a young boy from Lake Forest College who was graduating and needed a suit. He came into the men's department and was completely at a loss as to what to do. Luckily for him, there were lots of experienced moms who were ready to help him. They found him so many suits and work clothes, he had to make two trips to get them all home. What I remember most about this was the love and care all those moms showed this boy. They told him which suits were worth the price, which ones fit him well, which ones should be tailored, and even where he could get them tailored. You would have thought he was their own son. They treated this stranger as if he was their own family. I also thought about the friendships I've made at Rummage. I have several close friends who work at Rummage, and we have a great time together. But it's the people I didn't know before that I think of now. I worked with people who I only vaguely knew, and after spending the day with them sorting clothes, picking up hangers, adding up numbers, stuffing bags, and eating lunch in the parish house, I've come to know these people in a way that would have otherwise been impossible. When you work for Rummage, we're all on equal ground. We are all working hard, getting dirty, and getting to know each other in ways that really isn't possible in everyday life. A prime example of this is the Bond Street department in Rummage. Maureen Olson, who now chairs Rummage, was in charge of the finer menswear for many years, and it's now called Bond Street. There are a few boys who are Boy Scouts in Troop 46, which is out of this church, who also happen to love vintage wear and expensive menswear. And after working to sort and set up for years, which all the Scouts do, these boys love to shop. They spent a lot of time in Bond Street and got to know Maureen and the other women. And now they are running Bond Street. A bunch of 16 and 17-year-old boys developed a fantastic relationship with adults at this church and are now an integral part of Rummage themselves. There's no other place that I know where that happens. It's amazing to see. Lastly, I would say that the best part of Rummage is that you have the opportunity to work with people from so many walks of life. Many of the volunteers are folks who come to our church, but many are not. All are working for their own reasons, some as a way to give back, and some as a way to be able to attend the workers' sale. When you're working with them, their motivation doesn't matter. You're all in it together. Rummage raises a lot of money for mission, but it serves so many people in so many other ways, and not just the people who receive the donations from the money we raise. I know that if you participate in Rummage, you will be changed. We're all in this together.
Thank you so much, Martha. Amen. We're all in this together. That's exactly it. We're all in this together. What Jesus knew when he reached out to the Samaritan woman at the well is exactly this. We're all in this together. Isn't that what Ryan and Matt, two of the teenagers at Bond Street Menswear, know? That we're all in this together. What the Lake Forest College kid and the moms know, that we're all in this together. What Martha knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we're all in this together. Each of us equally valued. Each of us equally worthy of dignity, worthy of respect. Why? Not because we're being politically correct. No, not because we're being nice. No, we're all in this together because our faith affirms that that's how God designed it. Back in Genesis 1, all the way at the beginning, we're reminded that we are all, each and every one of us, made in the image and likeness of God. Every single one of us. And as Jesus reminds us again and again and again, we're all children of God, precious in God's sight, even if we're Samaritan, even if we're Syrian, even if we're Mexican, even if we're Muslim. We're all in this together. There's a story I heard a long time ago that I will never forget. Fred Craddock was professor at Emory University when he and his wife went on vacation one year to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They rented a little cabin behind a mountain stream. Their first night away, they visited a little diner, one of those mom-and-pop places with wooden tables and chairs and plaid tablecloths. An old man in overalls came in, and he stopped at every table. Clearly, he knew most people, and he stopped at theirs, knowing they were visitors, and asked where they were from. And when Fred shared he was a preaching professor from Atlanta, the old man pulled up a chair and said, "I've got a preacher story for you." Now, I got to tell you, preachers never want to hear preacher stories. The old man said, "I was born and raised right here in the mountains of East Tennessee. I never knew who my father was. I was born out of wedlock, an illegitimate child. In those days, quite a stigma to live with. I always felt badly about myself. When I was growing up, my classmates at school said some very unkind things about me. When I went to town on Saturday, I always had the feeling people were talking about me behind my back. After I was born, my mother did not go to church anymore. She did not feel welcome at church. My grandmother knew how important it was for me to go to church. Every Sunday, she took me to a little Methodist church nestled in the hillside. We would arrive just as the service started so that we'd avoid speaking to anyone, and we'd sit in the back pew. When the service was over, we'd leave immediately, even sometimes before the benediction, and we'd scoot right out the door. We just didn't want to talk to anybody, and I was so afraid of the pastor's judgment. One Sunday, as we started to leave the church, the usher stopped us at our usual exit. He said, "You can't go out this way. We've had a winter storm, and the ice has made it impossible for you to use these steps, so it isn't safe. You need to leave by the side door." And for the first time, I found myself in the line that went past the preacher. I did not want to talk to the preacher. He frightened me so much. I was walking down the aisle, glancing to the left and to the right. I saw the side door and saw my opportunity to make an escape. And as I started to the exit, I felt an enormous hand on my shoulder. I whirled around and stared right into the face of the preacher. And the preacher asked me a question that I had dreaded for 14 years. "Boy, who's your daddy?" The silence of that moment was deafening. Then the preacher looked at me and said, "Oh, I see the resemblance. I know who you are. You are a child of God. Go, claim your inheritance." Fred Craddock looked at that old mountaineer and said, "Please tell me your name." The old man said, "My name is Ben Hooper. Ben Hooper." And then Fred remembered his own grandfather telling him the story about an illegitimate boy who grew up in the mountains of East Tennessee, a boy who became an attorney, a boy that the people of Tennessee later elected to two terms as their governor. That boy was Ben Hooper. Today on World Communion Sunday, we're invited to receive the living water of God's love. We're encouraged to come to the table of grace and eat the living bread. And we're invited to see each other. And every single person around this beautiful world is a child of God, equally beloved. That's not pity. That's not judgment. It's just plain old respect. The kind of respect that Jesus showed the Samaritan woman. The kind of respect that Jesus shows us all. Go. Claim your inheritance. Amen.